acts like John Wayne, resembles Jim Carrey, and dresses like he's visually impaired. Because he is. Insight. Insight with Mark Farrell on the Progressive Radio Network.
I do walk like John Wayne.
Yeah, and I am visually impaired. Because that's good, because I am Mark Farrell. And this is Insight on Progressive Radio Network. How are you, my friends? Friday Eve, New York City, wet and cold. Actually, cold yesterday. 90 degrees. Tuesday, I was in the Atlantic Ocean, an hour south from here in New Jersey. Incredible time. But all things come to an end. We're going to meet an incredible person today from an incredible organization. Michael Lloyd White is the CEO and Secretary of World Kindness USA. This is an amazing organization spreading acts of kindness through individuals, corporate, you name it. Phenomenal organization. We're going to meet them in a little bit. But first, I want to share a little story with you, about an interesting thing that happened to me last week. And it kind of falls on the kindness spectrum. So I'm driving my daughter to school and I'm at a light. Next thing you know, I'm stopped at a light. Next thing you know, I see to my right a motorcyclist collapse. The bike and the motorcyclist fall over. So immediately I'm like, whoa, they must have had a heart attack. So I put the car in park, got out, ran over. You okay? Oh, yeah, you know, discombobulated. And I realized it was a woman. Couldn't tell because of the helmet, full face. And then I realized, you know, they're okay, and I help her up, and the bike is a beautiful, oh my Lord, gorgeous Harley Davidson. A green bike, just a tasteful green. I can't even describe this green. Absolutely gorgeous. So there we are in the middle of an intersection, and she's saying something, I guess, of why or how she fell. So I help her pick up the bike, and it was no easy feat because this bike is about 800 pounds. So as I get it into like the center position, like in a neutral position, she goes to put her leg over it. And the bike falls completely the other way. So now this is two times the bike falls. And I'm like, oh my God, she obviously is too small for this bike. So I'm saying, you okay? Yeah. She's completely mortified, embarrassed. And here I am, again, middle of the road. A gentleman, I sense someone coming up. I look over my shoulder. I see some guy looking at me. I look at him. We kind of exchange smiles, kind of like, what is going on here? She's obviously safe. So I pick up the bike. She's like, what are you doing? I said, listen, I'm going to hold the bike in the middle neutral position. No. Push it over to the other side. I'm like, you don't have your kickstand down. So I'm thinking, oh my God, this is why my wife calls me Dudley Do-Right. Always helping people out. And sometimes I feel like I get persecuted, penalized for doing such. So I said to her again, put your kickstand down. She's leaning the bike in the direction where I am not. And it's going to fall again. So finally, she puts her kickstand down, the bike rests, so I just walk away. That's it. Get in my car, put it in drive, and leave. And kind of get a chuckle. I'm like, well, you know what? I did the right thing. I helped somebody, a motorist, on the road. So then, about 12 hours later that day, at that same intersection, I'm looking in my rearview mirror, and I see a motorcyclist. I'm like, oh, that's pretty funny. Pulling up to the same intersection in motorcyclists. How uncanny would it be? How ironic would it be if it's the same person? Sure enough, I pull up to the intersection. I look to my left. There is that great, beautiful green Harley. And there is that motorcyclist. I put down my window and go, hey, how you doing? She looks and gives me a nod. I'm like, and I know it's her. And I said to her, hey, were you at the same intersection this morning? She goes, yeah. I said, and I point to myself. I'm like, I'm that guy. She's like, Oh, thanks. And she was mortified. And I just said, be careful, be safe. Obviously, it's a big bike and it's a dangerous road out there. Just be safe. But the point of the story is that I always am out in and putting myself out there, out of my way to help other people, because I just feel that that is what we are meant to do, help other people. I do it for selfish reasons, to feel good. I do it to improve the circumstance of that person's life at that time or the situation, whether I'm at Sam's or big box store and a woman or an elderly person can't lift up a three-tiered case of water bottles that probably weigh like 60, 80 pounds, or to helping out my neighbors who don't ask for help because they just look like they need help. to asking complete strangers on the street if they need help getting somewhere right here in New York City. I find that it is something that takes people by surprise sometimes. I think it's just how I'm wired, and it's something that I've been doing for, I don't know how long, I guess, continuously, religiously since college. I like to think I did it in high school, but I can't remember that far ago. So the point of the story is, you know what, do the right thing. Don't put yourself in harm's way, of course. But and that's the theme of today, kindness. You know, kindness is not a weakness. Kindness is selfless. Kindness is many things. And we're going to see and hear just how ubiquitous kindness is. Introducing Michael Lloyd White. Michael Lloyd White is the CEO and Secretary of World Kindness USA. He was the Secretary General of the World Kindness Movement, and he was the founder and chair of World Kindness Australia. It's my pleasure to introduce Michael Lloyd White. Hello, Michael.
Thanks very much, Mark, and thanks for giving them a warning regarding a potential accent hazardous accident happening with my accent.
I love accents. As a matter of fact, the real estate agent who sold us our house is Australian, and my son and daughter do their best this day to mimic that wonderful, wonderful accent. Well, my friend, you are in an incredible field. What a better way to wake up every morning to say, I'm going to spread kindness.
Yes. Yes, you would think so.
Do explain.
Well, I think there's a lot of challenges for people in the kindness space, particularly when the world is struggling to be the best it can be. And the state of play, I think we've made some traction. We've got some inroads into demystifying kindness, removing the myth of kindness, which has been seen as gender-specific or warm and fuzzy, sugar and spice and all things nice, and starting to get some real traction. So we always get a major buzz when we get an opportunity to speak to people, a new audience, and thank you very much for this opportunity, or to engage a city or a county or a government department or a law enforcement agency or a National Cybersecurity Council, which have all since joined World Kindness USA, along with a number of not-for-profits, including your largest children's charity and oldest, Variety International, now 92 years old. And that's exciting. But being able to get people to get past posting or liking a post, a photo opportunity, or signing a declaration and walking the talk, that requires a little bit more effort.
Mm.
That requires a bit more of a nudge.
Now, this organization is only 12 months old. How are you nudging people?
Well, engagement is the key factor. And when we set the organization up, I'd stepped down from the role, I think I told you yesterday, as the Secretary General deliberately to take on this challenge. And the strategy is to basically engage people, get people like yourself involved, and start spreading the word. And the word is kindness. But in doing that, giving them some tools of engagement, giving them some kindness performance indicators, a criteria to work towards meeting. We have 200,000 students under the auspice of county school boards that have signed the declaration, which resulted in a unanimous motion, which sees it going out to all these schools around the country, whereby they are adopting a kindness clause. And this is the thing, it's been MIA, it's been missing in action. So our job is to get it on the agenda. And the more people we've got doing a little bit makes a real difference. We don't ask for donations. We don't accept donations. We don't apply for government grants. We don't seek sponsorship. We are doing this so we are not competing with any of the organizations in the not-for-profit sector that we want to collaborate.
And no political and religious affiliation.
Exactly right. No political and no religious affiliation. It's purely on the fundamental premise of being kind and reminding us what that really is.
Yeah, actually, let's strip it back, Michael. Define kind as it applies to World Kindness USA.
Well, our tagline is the courage to be kind, and that gets to the heart of the issue. And I think it's always been the case. I don't think there's any act of courage that is not tempered in some way with kindness, because both are selfless. And that's the key thing here. You mentioned it in your introduction, selfless. And it's really hard to think of things that are selfless, because if you're being kind to a friend, there's going to be a reciprocal benefit. If you're being kind because it makes you feel good, there's going to be a benefit, whether it's the oxytocin or the dopamine levels or the serotonin.
Mm.
And unfortunately, people in this space, they feel compelled that they have to sell kindness, particularly to corporations. And I think we're better off to basically say, it is the path of most resistance, real kindness, doing something you don't particularly want to do, but you choose to do it anyway because it's the right thing to do. Whether it be speaking up, relinquishing the safety of silence, could be a kid in the playground, could be a member of a board. If you're feeling conflicted about a situation, you've got to stand up. And that's the issue today, is that people have become part of the silent majority and bystander behaviour is the issue there. And I'm from Australia. We're a very lucky country. We've got the same size patch of dirt as the USA, but with 300 million less people living there. And in the lucky country, we've got children as young as 10 and 12 years of age deciding that this world, in the lucky country, is too cruel, too cold, too unkind, and too lonely. And they are opting to leave it.
That's prominent.
That's not a warning sign to say that the canary in the cage, that our culture, our global Western culture in particular, has become toxic, then I don't know what's going to be the wake-up call.
Well, I think the wake-up call, as I'm sure you understand, because you are living in the capital of divisiveness, in Washington, D.C., that I don't know. I didn't think I was wearing rose-colored glasses prior to 2016, but I thought we were living in a nation in the United States where tolerance and acceptance was at a much higher degree and level. But obviously, a lot of us were bamboozled because obviously the sea has changed. And it's vital that an organization such as yours, World Kindness USA, exists. Do you need an organization in a climate like this? Unfortunately, I think you need anything that can motivate, direct, and inspire people to realize that, yes, there are good reasons, whether it be selfless or selfish, to be kind. And let's talk about a particular U.S. city, Salisbury, Maryland, that is the first internationally endorsed as World Kindness City, because I think this is an exceptional and shining example of what can be done.
Yeah, thank you. We are thrilled. In the 22-year history of the organization, it goes back to 63, but internationally, 22 years it's been established after the first Gulf War by the Japanese government, and then the Singapore government managed it for 5 years before it came to Australia after a meeting in London. And one of the things that we instigated and we recognised as part of the strategic plan to change the world was we needed to engage cities, because they're the entree to every sector of the community, because you can't change the world without involving and including everybody. And the city is a great example of that. But within cities, you have politicians. Within cities, you have religions. You've got political parties. Mm. You've got different agendas.
The whole gamut.
And we don't need race, religion, sex, and gender, and to discriminate, will discriminate based on zip codes. And when you're in the same zip code, they'll talk to you about what label's that on your car or on your clothing, what school do your kids go to. And that's because we're under the greatest ever successful campaign in the world. And that successful campaign is the campaign of fear and hate. And it's organic. And it just continues to thrive. So when we take this to a city, it's more than that resolution. That resolution that they have to put forward and pass unanimously, it's difficult enough to get anything passed, let alone unanimously today in the political environment, agreed?
Mm.
But they do it. And then they've got to have a choice to undertake to meet those KPIs, the kindness performance indicators. Now, if they are deemed to be consistently meeting those and their campaign, internal and external, has influence, and they've been doing it for over 2 years, they can be put forward by the national body, which in this case is World Kindness USA, to the International Council of the Global Body, which comprises up 28 nations, and they can ask to be considered for international listing. Do you know how many cities have actually succeeded in being listed as World Kindness Cities?
I imagine a surprisingly low number.
One.
Oh, ho, ho.
Salisbury is not only the first city in the USA to be listed, it is the second city in the world. They've got amazing programs. They started their kindness campaign, which we took into account back in 2014 with the Dance for Kindness. And they continued to promote kindness. They appointed a Secretary of Kindness onto the council. And they signed the Declaration of Support, which is publicly and virtually displayed on their website. They have been able to get the school board to sign up and adopt a kindness clause. And that's not easy, because when schools look at this, they kick it up to legal. Do you know why? What's in that kindness clause? It has a lot of things in it, but one thing in particular it says, and I'm paraphrasing, we will not protect our brand over and above the well-being of people.
Fascinating.
And if a company used that as a tagline, they have to walk the talk.
Absolutely.
And this is what companies are doing. We've got businesses, LA Film Studios, we've got the National Cybersecurity Agency. And you wonder, why would you want cybersecurity agency involved in this? Because taking on the campaign of fear and hate, at the business end of that campaign, is terror.
Mm.
And you have to ask yourself, how's the war on terror going? Because I can tell you right now, if we're just fighting fire with fire, what are you going to do when your house is burning down? Ask your neighbor for a bucket of fire? Because that's what is happening now. We are fighting fire with fire and our house is burning down. But if you insert a campaign to create a kinder culture, how is it possible that the seeds of fear and hate could ever take root?
Absolutely. I think the mass numbers believe in that mantra and that culture. Sometimes it doesn't appear that way because
we've
of
got the police departments, we've got the universities, and they really have walked the talk. The other thing they've got to demonstrate is that it's not driven by one person or one organization. It's actually collaborative. Therefore, it is sustainable.
Mm, what a great model.
And anybody can put their hand up and do it. All they've got to do is go back to wherever they the organization they're representing, whether it be government, corporate, the police department, the hospital, whatever it might be, and at their next meeting, put kindness on the agenda and see this as a roadmap to actually get a shift in the direction of 1 degree on how that's going. And before you know it, we start to get some real change. Now, this this announcement went to the governor's office, Governor Hogan in Maryland, and it's also gone to the director of communications in the White House.
Interesting.
Well, ask your question. I got asked by a journalist, what would you do? What would you do if you had 5 minutes with President Trump?
What would you do, Michael?
I would have to present him with a very ambitious and large challenge that has never been done before.
Define that, please.
So one of the things we're looking at doing, and the very first thing we're looking at doing, and why these declarations are so important, is we want this to be signed at the United Nations because it will provide a license to practice kindness under any regime and support individuals and organizations in those countries to put kindness on the national agenda. And that is the key to this. And I know that a lot of people are skeptical about politicians or anyone signing something for a photo opportunity, but I take great delight in reminding them of a young nation that 232 years ago signed a declaration. Now, it didn't necessarily please everyone, and not everyone that signed it even understood it. Some were actually hypocritical because they were in fact slave owners when the declaration said all men were created equal. But it was a work in progress that allowed the amendments to make it, to see it evolve. And eventually it found its way into the laws of the land, and the truth of that declaration is taking hold today. Things got a lot worse before they got better, but something unexpected happened. Your declaration, your constitution, found its way, had a ripple effect and found its way across the ocean to a farm in South Africa to a young boy called Nelson, and to the streets of India to a young lawyer called Gandhi. And closer to home, years later, it found its way to Atlanta to the son of a preacher called Martin, and it inspired them to become agents for positive change. And they embraced ridiculous, unshakable beliefs. One guy had a ridiculous belief, even though he sat in prison for 27 years, that there would be an end to apartheid. Another guy thought on his own he could take on the might of the British Empire's brutal social injustices and see his country become independent through peaceful protest. How insane is that?
It's still unfathomable after all this time.
But it happened.
It did.
And the reconciliation between Japan and the West, you're talking about a country that was about to host the Olympics in 64, and they still got the aftermath of two nuclear bombs. And if you didn't know your history and you weren't aware of what had happened between the West and Japan today, you could not fathom that they were once mortal enemies. Yet they chose to put kindness on the agenda in 1963 as a part of reconciliation. And the division you see today in America is because there is something missing, part of that reconciliation. We can reconcile with our enemies, our global enemies, where atrocities were committed, whether it be Germany, whether it be Japan, whether it be Italy or Vietnam. But we seem to struggle to reconcile with indigenous people.
Within our borders.
We seem to struggle to reconcile with slavery. And why is that? Because the way we were able to do it with our enemies was because there was contrition.
Interesting.
But today, oh, that happened a long time ago. It's not part of us. But we have lacked true contrition. And when you continue to have social injustices happening today, those wounds can never heal. So the great American divide has always been there. It's just been widened. And if you're a victor of the, you know, let's call it the Civil War, if you're the victor and the vanquished, there will be resentment and they will bide their time until there is an opportunity to rise again, because whilst ever they are treated unfairly, and what we did with what we learned from the First World War that led to the Second World War was to treat the vanquished more fairly. We treated, in the Second World War, the Marshall Plan was an attempt that was pretty much what we interpret as the kinder option. It was a win-win-win. It favoured those countries that were devastated by the Allies, but basically it was a stimulus package for the USA, whereby it provided the equipment to countries to rebuild themselves after being devastated through a loan account at reasonable interest rates. But at the same time, all those unemployed soldiers and veterans returning to America and to the West, guess what? They had jobs to go to. And that's what the kinder option is, when you think outside the box and come up with a win-win-win. Rarely is the answer or a yes or no, e.g. immigration. If we let them in, right, what about this pie? There's only so many pieces of pie. If we keep them out, how are we actually living up to our credo? How are we actually walking our talk?
Absolutely.
But the answer isn't yes or no. It is an outside-the-box approach that comes up with something different. And I don't have time to go into it today, unfortunately, but there is a solution to this.
Michael Lloyd White is my guest. I'm sorry, Michael. Michael is the CEO and Secretary of World Kindness USA. Michael, we're almost out of time. On your website, worldkindnessusa.org, you have kindness cards. You have corporate kindness. Yes, corporate and kindness appear in the same sentence as you alluded to before. And you have an opportunity for people to be ambassadors. Describe that, please. Explain that.
Well, we basically want people to be prepared to be the go-to people in their town, in their city, in their school, in their company. We're looking for people to join the campaign. As I said, we don't ask for donations. We don't look for funding. We've got a sustainable model, and we keep a low infrastructure, so we don't have to put any energy into fundraising. But Goodwill Ambassadors are the envoys. They are the messengers. And when we have someone apply to be a member, whether it's an individual or a corporate, they would be the local go-to person in that area that they can talk to, they can have the interview with, and they can help onboard them into this campaign. And I would love to see the radio station become the first media partner in America to officially join this campaign.
I think Mark Farrell Motivation can certainly be signed up in that regard. My speaking company.
Thank you company. So much, Mark. We'd love to have you on board as an ambassador.
So how many ambassadors do you have right now in the United States?
We've got, outside of the organizations and just individuals that represent cities, we've got 20 ambassadors in, what was it, 22 ambassadors. I've got to keep track of that. We'll have, in, for example, Stafford County, we'll have a Goodwill ambassador in Stafford County, but then we'll have one in the Sheriff's Department. We'll have one in the school board. We'll have one in the county supervisor's role, or in the case of Salisbury, it's the mayor. And those guys really knocked out of the park. And just FYI, they got a 92% rating when they were vetted.
Wow.
So, yeah, congratulations to them, and thank you for raising that today.
Hey, Michael, I think for the most part, everybody has great intentions. I think that we are, not to get too deep, I think we are all have great intentions, but I think we are shaped by our experiences, our perspectives, and then that's where we go astray and we forget about all the valuable components that we've spoken about in the last 25, 30 minutes. And that's how kindness sometimes is not first and foremost, whether it's a individual, a corporation, a nation divided. And I think we really, really need to harness that, whether it's by going on to worldkindnessusa.org, whether it's by simply looking up kindness, whether it's just doing a self-examination of who you are and what you're doing in this life. I'd love to have you in for a longer and broader conversation. I'm sorry that we didn't get to as much as the World Kindness USA is doing. I urge people to go onto your website, worldkindnessusa.org. And finally, Michael, what is the immediate goal and long-term goal with World Kindness USA? I'm going to put you on the spot, but we have about 30 seconds.
Okay, we would like to see every city, major cities like New York, signed up as members as well and working towards this. But we would like to see the government co-sponsor that motion, America to take a lead role. You're the most influential country on the planet. You need to take a lead role in the global campaign and co-sponsor this motion at the United Nations. That is our starting point. And once we start to do that, you'll find that there will be a shift in consciousness and people will use the power of the question mark rather than virtual baseball bats every time a subject is raised. Encourage critical thinking and seek the kinder option as our default in our decision-making process.
Well said, Michael. And lastly, Michael, do you think it's your upbringing, your family, being a world traveler, your education, or a cumulative effect that has led you to be in this position where you are now?
All of the above, but I think some of it might be hereditary. My mom was pretty amazing. And, but there's something in your DNA sometimes. I mean, why is it such a small majority of people choose to intervene? Why is it such a small majority of people decide to stand up despite the risk? That sense of belonging, that overwhelming sense of belonging is great, but it can see us do great harm just through silence.
Absolutely. And to take the high road, I mean, sometimes it's really hard. And we want to lash out, but pause and think and just consider the alternative. Yeah. And I guarantee you, you'll be much better off. And so will the other people involved. Michael Lloyd-White.
Imagine if they had a Secretary of Kindness in the White House. Imagine if there was a department. Imagine if they followed what Japan did in 63.
Yeah. It would have been a completely different situation. Michael Lloyd-White, CEO and Secretary of World Kindness USA. Please visit them, worldkindnessusa.org. Thank you very much for your time, Michael. We will have you in studio the next time you're in city for a long and proper interview. Keep that kindness strong and ubiquitous, my friend. My name is Mark Farrell. Thank you so much. Gary Noel is next. Have a great day.